You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 all.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. And with me is Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, we made it the whole week this time.
Yeah, we did. And sadly enough, we've also made it through an entire month without baseball. Our first full month of canceled games is done. It's now May, and it's for some reason that makes it more real to me.
Yeah, definitely, especially considering that, you know, at the very least it wouldn't start for another month, and that's super, that's if they announced it tomorrow. So the fact that we're going to be without it at least probably two more months is it's a little disheartening, but we're still here for you guys, and we'll still be talking and trying to bring some kind of baseball content into your life. So we put out a call for questions, and not too much. I realize there's not a lot of people on Twitter that often anymore, probably because there's not a lot of news happening. But we got a few questions, so we're going to run through those. But before that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car in the morning, or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, before we get into the questions, the newest episode of Off the Air with Joe and Oro came up, and their second guest ever was Cody Bellinger. I would say they were flexing, but we also once had Cody Bellinger as a guest on our old podcast. So we're not that far behind so far, although I'm sure they're going to one-up or continue to one-up us as they go along.
Yeah, having Kirsch last week, though, yeah, you know, that trumps everything we've ever done.
True, but at least we can say we had Belly before MVP and Rookie of the Year and all that.
Yep.
So Bellinger was on their show, didn't really say too much. He is looking for a place in L.A., Joe and Oral tried to egg him on, saying if that was something to note that he may be signing an extension, and he pretty much said no, that means he got paid this year and he has money to buy some property over there. And then he just talked about what his days are looking like. He works out in the morning, he plays video games all day, he eats a lot of Chipotle, he says, and salads. So glad to see he's getting his nutrients. He is not one of the non-dairy Dodgers, and I think that was pretty much it of the main highlight. Oh, and he does think that it seems like the MLB is going to try to play and sooner rather than later, just based on what he's been hearing. And Dave Roberts didn't necessarily corroborate that, but he's always said that the MLB, they have a lot of meetings and go through stuff, and that they're working to try to get the game back. So obviously we've seen a bunch of proposals and ideas and stuff. So obviously they are working to try to get it back. So, you know, that's about as encouraging as we can get right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Cody, like you said, he didn't have a ton of notable stuff to say. It's still, I mean, it's fun to hear from the players anyway. And, you know, maybe not the most entertaining interview, but, you know, there's some interesting stuff. It was funny. He kept up with Kershaw's theme last week when they were doing the rapid fire questions. Basically, any negative answer went to Jock. I think it was which one? Oh, who would you least want to be cooking for you? He chose Jock. After Kershaw said Jock is the one he would least want to watch his kids, which is funny because Jock has a kid and another one on the way. But, you know, so that's always fun to hear from the players. And, it was Oral, Joe and Oral do a great job.
Yeah, Oral is kind of on the Jock as the bad answer train. He's been the one egging that on too. So,
yep,
that's funny to see. But, yeah, I felt like it was funny early on, the questions. It kind of felt like they were interviewing like a child, like the way they were asking him questions to try to try to get him to expand a little bit because he wasn't really speaking in much length. But it was good. If you guys want to go listen to that, we're always going to promote their show. All right, Jeff, let's get into the questions. Let's see. The first one is not from a listener, but from a fellow podcaster on the Locked On Network, Locked On A's. They posed a question, Jason posed the question of how quickly you will return to the ballpark once we are allowed back in. The answers he gave were, first game I'm there waiting for vaccine, or I'll go but not as often. Obviously, we don't have to stick to those answers, but this is interesting, Jeff. So, I mean, if they did give a clear go-ahead that fans could go to games at the stadium, how long are you waiting?
Until the game. You know, I'll be there the very first game. If for no other reason than that, I think Major League Baseball is going to show an abundance of caution. And basically, if they've said, okay, you're good to go to games, then I think it will probably be quite a while after it was already safe that I could have done that. And so I won't feel any need to stay away. I don't know exactly what that's going to look like, whether it's because they've found treatment or because they've, you know, developed a vaccine or herd immunity or whatever it is. But by the time Major League Baseball and the Dodgers say that I can go to a Dodger game, I will be more than ready to do it.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I mean, basically, first chance we're able to go, we're able to go. You know, the main thing for me, at least, is I'm not really worried if I were to get sick. It'd be more, you know, getting other people sick. But like I said, if they're allowing fans to go in the game in big numbers and groups, you got to imagine it's safe enough. You know, there's still going to be those people that don't want to go or want to give it more time depending when it is. But, you know, for me, I'm going to go and I'm going to try to enjoy it as much as possible. But, yeah, I mean, we'll see when that time comes. I don't know if that's going to happen this year. Hopefully it does. But if not, for sure next year, I'll be there opening day or whatever they have after next season starts.
Yep, absolutely. And speaking of that, it's probably worth noting the Dodgers did. We mentioned that Major League Baseball had kind of paved the way for teams to start issuing refunds by officially declaring the March and April games canceled rather than just postponed. And so the Dodgers did on Thursday send out an email to season ticket holders, issue a statement. Basically, I don't know what they're doing for people who've bought individual game tickets. I'm not sure exactly how that works, but I know for season ticket holders, the default is that they're just crediting our accounts with the amount we paid. But we have the option of calling or emailing and asking for a refund. But if you take the account credit, they're giving a bonus of 10% that can be used on pretty much anything, games or, you know, game tickets, parking, concessions, the merchandise at the team stores. So, basically that's how they're trying to encourage people not to ask for a refund, because like we've talked about, it's probably over $100 million in season tickets, the money that they've collected. And so they obviously don't want to give back any more of that than they have to right now. And so I think it's a decent compromise to offer that bonus. And there looks like they're going to do it on a month by month basis, because all that they're doing right so far is March and April.
Yeah, that's good to note for those out there that maybe didn't know or didn't hear about it. All right, that's going to do it for right now. We're going to answer a few more questions, but make sure you keep it locked on Dodgers. All right, Jeff, so let's just hop right back into these questions. We'll keep it relatively short for you guys this week. The first question we got was from @Bryce16. He says, if the proposed Western Division with the Dodgers and Astros in it becomes a reality, do the Dodgers retaliate only in the first game played against them, or do it throughout different games they play against them?
Assuming we're talking about retaliation as in hitting Astros players with pitches, I think it would be pretty minimal on the Dodgers side. And I think, it would be strategic if they were going to do it. What I would hope is that, you know, if you're playing the Astros and you're up by seven in the eighth inning or down by seven in the eighth inning, yeah, go ahead and drill Bregman in the hip if you want. You know, I'm pretty on record as not being a fan of beanball wars, you know, partly because of the potential danger to the players. Mostly just from a practical standpoint, it's not good baseball to deliberately let your opponent get on base. And I remember last year there was a weird thing with when the Dodgers were playing the Pirates and some sort of weird collision between Muncy and Cervelli at home plate. I had forgotten about it until it showed up on my time hop the other day. And then the Pirates were talking about maybe retaliating, and somebody asked Muncy about it, and he said, well, I hope they do, because then I get to go to first base, and that helps my on-base percentage. And that's kind of the way I feel about beanball wars, you know? Don't help your other team get on base. But if the game is already out of hand one way or the other, you know, eighth inning, two outs, you're up by seven, and Bregman's up to the plate, or somebody who you have a legitimate beef with, you know, sure, I guess, you know. If you want to plunk him, I'm okay with that, I guess. But I don't think the Dodgers will be in the business of hitting the Astros a lot. I think they would much rather get their revenge by beating them.
I don't think it means anything if they were to do it how you're saying, like in the eighth inning of a game that's already out of hand. I think if they are, they might have a discussion about it or whatever. I think if they are going to do it, they're going to go after whenever Correa comes up to bat the first time, and then that's it. It's over after that. Just because Correa is the one that came out and spoke the most harshly against Bellinger and, you know, against not necessarily the Dodgers, more so against Bellinger. But, you know, if it's a matter of if you're going to do it or don't do it, not to kind of waver on it. If they're going to do it, it'll be Correa's first at bat, and that's it. Then maybe they'll get the warning and after that. But if not, I don't think it makes any sense for them to do it after that, even if it was like I said, eighth inning of a blowout game, because then, you know, that's just, the message isn't really there in that sense, if that's what you're trying to get across, the point. So I think that's how it would be.
Yeah, I guess it depends on what you think they're trying to do, you know. I don't know that there's really a point that needs to be gotten across. And that's part of the reason I don't care for beanball wars, because they are pointless. You know, everybody knows the Astros cheated. Everybody knows the Dodgers aren't happy about it. Everybody knows that Carlos Correa is an idiot. And so hitting him with a pitch doesn't get that point across more than it's already across. You know, hitting him with a pitch is more to make yourself feel better. And for that reason, it's like, do it whenever it works best for you, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess in this case, I don't know. If them hitting them would like make it feel better. Like I said, I think it would be in other cases, even if you don't agree with, you know, guys protecting their players when they throw at other guys. I think that's kind of where it would come from if they do throw at them. I don't think they care much to throw at them for like 2017 anymore. I think it would more so be Correa specifically for what he said for Bellinger. I think that's the only reason they would do anything.
Yeah, and I guess that's why for me, you wouldn't want to do it in a situation where Correa could then score the winning run. You know, you'd wait until, because really it's all about, I want to hit Carlos Correa with a pitch, you know, and if that's the case, you know, yeah, I think it makes sense to do it when it's not going to hurt the team. So,
yeah. And then the only other point is that if it is like a shortened season where all games kind of do matter, you know, they might not necessarily want to do it in that case either.
Yeah,
but yeah, we'll see. You know, would be. I don't remember who talked about it. It might have been Jonah, or I don't know. But oh no, it was on, I think, Stripling's pod. I don't know, some podcast or something I was listening to. Basically said, you know, it would kind of be weird because there's no fans in attendance. So you know, that's kind of another not a reason to do it, but you know, you kind of feel better doing it when there's like 40,000 people behind you.
Yeah, you're doing it for the fans in a way.
So. All right, moving on. Next question from at Blinding Wave. He has two questions, but we'll go one at a time. Jeff, what would your walk-up song be before an at-bat?
Oh, I go back and forth on this. You know, if I was... I don't... It depends on the mood I was in. I would be very tempted to do the whistling at the beginning of I Can't Smile Without You by Barry Manilow. Just it's so not a baseball walk-up song, but it's also one of my favorite songs of all time. And so I would be tempted to do that. Chances are I'd just end up doing something, maybe some sort of generic country song. I like country music a lot. And so maybe like That's My Story and I'm Sticking to It by Colin Ray, or Friends in Low Places by Garth Brooks, something super generic country like that. Or maybe if I would, you know, I might go with, I was, you know, Joe on Joe and Oral's podcast, Joe's workout songs got me thinking about, System of a Down. So I might go with something by System of a Down to, you know, kind of get me fired up. So I don't know, one of those three.
Yeah. That's a diverse, I guess. Yeah, for me, I've always said, you know, the Dodger Stadium, you want to feed off the crowd. You want to get the crowd going. That's why, you know, Adrian and Mariachi Loco gets the crowd going. Not to just mention like Mexican players and their songs, but you know, for Doogie and Chente, that always gets crowd going. So I think I would go with something to that extent. I always think about Suavemente just because that song is instant, like get up and kind of dance and get crazy. I probably would have, I'd definitely be one of those guys with like four or five songs, and I would tell GJ Severe, like, yo, if I don't get a hit, change the song. If I don't get a hit again, change the song. If I do get a hit, keep the song. I'd definitely be one of those guys where I'd have like four or five songs in his pocket and for him ready to go. And but yeah, something to get the crowd going. It wouldn't be necessarily like my favorite songs. It would be more songs to get the crowd into it.
I can respect that. Yeah. My favorite walk-up day was, it was after Greinke was already on the D-backs and he was playing against the Dodgers in Arizona. And every time Greinke came up to bat, he had a different John Anderson song. Because he and John Anderson are both from Apopka, Florida. And so he had Swingin' from 1982, which is one of my favorite country songs of all time. It's ridiculous and absurd, and it was awesome as a walk-up song. So I respected Greinke a lot for that one.
Yeah, Greinke, what did he have as a Dodger? The
Careless Whisper.
So, you know, he's a man. He's not that outspoken, but he knows a good walk-up song. All right, last question from Still Blinding Wave again. Hindsight is 2020. Thank you for noting that. But what rumored trade didn't go through that you wished it had for the Dodgers?
Oh, I don't know. Do you want to answer this one first? Do you have one off the top of your head?
Yeah, so mine comes with the caveat of, and it's recent, but I think it would have helped the Dodgers last year specifically. And it's Felipe Vasquez, but obviously, you know, not if he was a normal human being that wasn't, you know, garbage. I think I would have liked that trade for, or a trade of that caliber to go down. I don't know. Dave Roberts might still do the little Kershaw redemption story, but I don't think he does, knowing he only needs six outs to go and he has Vasquez and Jansen in the bullpen ready to go. But you know, I think almost most trades, I don't really remember too many trades of relievers, you know, not going through, like rumored and not going through, that make me feel that way. But this one's also a little recency bias.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. And like you said, obviously we didn't want Felipe Vasquez after what we knew, but getting some reliever who Roberts trusted more might have helped last year. You know, I can't tell if this question was trying to lead us to Justin Verlander by saying hindsight's 2020, because obviously the Verlander trade for the Astros has worked out better than the Darvish trade did for the Dodgers. And so it's easy to look back now and say, oh yeah, I wish the Dodgers had traded for Verlander instead of Darvish. I don't really know, you know, we don't need to relitigate that one. But for me, the one that I think about, and it's hard to say because there was never a specific trade partner or anything, but I don't know if you remember in spring training of 2000 whatever year, 16 maybe? Yeah, in spring training of 2016, you had Andre Ethier, who he was quickly approaching 10 years of service time. And once you get to 10 years of service time and five with the same team, the last five with the same team, then you have a no trade clause. Even if there's not a no trade clause in your contract, you have 10-5 rights, so you can refuse any trade. And going into 2016, it seemed like the Dodgers were going to trade Ethier before his 10-5 rights came up. And then he fouled the ball off his shin and broke his leg and basically hit the 10-5 mark while he was on the disabled list. And so the Dodgers never really got a chance to trade him. And like I said, there was never really a specific trade mentioned. And it's kind of nice that ultimately it ended up that Ethier spent his entire career with the Dodgers. But Andre Ethier going into 2016, he had just had a 137 OPS plus in 2015, had a pretty solid season. And so he could have brought some decent trade value, and it would have been nice to get that for him instead of what they got from him in his last two seasons, which is a total of 64 plate appearances of below average offense. And so that broken leg of Andre Ethier's, you know, saved his career as a Dodger, let him play his whole career as a Dodger, but it also cost the Dodgers the chance of getting something of value for him.
And I guess, going back to mine, I guess if hindsight was 2020, they wouldn't make that trade that I brought up anyways. So I will bring up the trade that came up last week where it said the Dodgers were on the verge of acquiring CC Sabathia, but Frank McCourt vetoed the trade. And I don't know if it puts the Dodgers in the World Series, but it does enhance their chances very much so. I mean, they had Derek Lowe and Billingsley and Kuroda and a young Kershaw, but you know, CC Sabathia throwing, at that time he was probably going to throw 1-4-7 if they needed in a series, and kind of and riding him down the stretch, him and Manny down the stretch would have been pretty wild. So I do think that's one trade that probably I would have liked to see go through.
Yeah, that would be a good one. The other one that jumps to my mind is whenever anybody complains about the front office not ever getting relievers, trading for bullpen pieces, you know, my point is always that, well, who do you want them to get? You know, because there's no sure things in the bullpen. And if you look at anybody, any reliever who's been traded in the last few years, things didn't work out as well as the acquiring team had hoped. And the only guy who people said the Dodgers should get, and then he got traded to someone other than the Dodgers, and then he was really good, the only one I can think of is Ryan Pressly, who was traded from the Twins to the Astros in 2018. And so that's one that, you know, because he was a guy who a lot of people wanted the Dodgers to get. He had a spin rate and stuff that seemed like with a couple tweaks, he could be even better than he'd been with the Twins, and he hadn't been super great with the Twins. And so it seemed like he could be had for fairly cheap. And then the Astros got him for two minor leaguers who nobody's ever heard of. Doesn't mean neither of them will ever make the big leagues, but you know, they got him for pretty cheap. And so it seems like he could have been had. And so that's maybe one other one, because again, you know, Dodgers bullpen, obviously, in 2018 really could have probably used a guy like Pressly, who had a 0.77 ERA in the 23 innings after he went to the Astros. And even last year, he had a 2.32 ERA, even though he had, you know, hit some rough patches. So Ryan Pressly is a guy who it would have been nice to have.
Yeah. And the other part of it is that it takes him away from the Astros.
Yep.
So, but yeah, good questions. You know, we made do out of it, and we had a full episode out of just those questions. So good job on that. We'll try maybe again next week, but maybe we'll have a few days out in advance and try to lead up into it. I know people probably aren't on Twitter as much as they are before, so it's understandable. But Jeff, you got anything else before we head out for the weekend?
No, just expanding on your point, we're probably going to do one mailbag episode a week. So don't feel like you have to wait for us to put out a call. You can send your questions anytime, and we will definitely get to them.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. Apple preferred if you have that as well, just to help us out overall. You can also rate and review on there. We haven't got any ratings this week, but I'm hopeful we'll hit 200 soon. So if you have a quick minute, go rate us on iTunes. Review if you really want, and get us over that 200 mark. You can hit us up on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. You can call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text at 323-863-5625. Or shoot us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
And now tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On MLB. We will talk to you later.
I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!